Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
You are listening to Talks Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. Talks Machina airs live at twitch.tv/Critical Role on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific, and it's also uploaded to youtube.com/Critical Role on Thursday mornings. If you like our podcast, please rate and review it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Without further ado, here's this week's episode of Talks Machina.
This episode of the Talks Machina podcast is brought to you by Adventurers and Adversaries. A brand new line of highly detailed and customizable rosin miniatures suitable for a variety of RPGs. Their Kickstarter campaign is underway right now, with first sets focused on underrepresented ancestries like Kenku, Tortle, and Dragonborn. The majority of the models also come with alternative head and arm options, so you can really customize your own miniature. All backers will also get the chance to vote on which mini they make next. Find out more and support their campaign now at norsefoundry.com/Kickstarter. That's norsefoundry.com/Kickstarter to support this unique campaign. Okay, on with the show.
Hey, are we on the internet?
Why, Mika, yes we are.
Oh, well, guess what, everybody? Tonight, it's Talks Machina.
Can't get rid of me yet.
Yet.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Yet.
Being the operative
one
word.
Step at a time.
Welcome, Matthew. Welcome, Mika, back to the couch of shame.
I mean, I'm just sneaking up on that chair. It's
going to
be mine
soon.
It's
true. Getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
The set is we're so close tonight.
Yeah.
Is this to throw me off?
Always.
We came in earlier and moved everything 1 inch to the left.
You guys moved Henry so far from me. Oh, man, this feels...
We didn't move him. He just wants to get slowly further away from me.
I know I'm a paranoid criminal, but this is getting out of hand. Matt, you look... Something looks different about you.
Yeah, lost about 6 pounds of facial hair.
You did.
The other night.
You did. How's it feel?
It's nice. I kind of miss the smooth face. Mm-hmm. You know, the beard. Beard was nice and fun for a while, and it may come back, but just needed some change.
I understand.
Is it breezy? And, is it breezier?
It's breezier. It's more aerodynamic.
Oh.
I can move quicker, which is nice. I also I enjoy having my wife not flinch when I kiss her. That's also great.
Yeah.
It has its positives.
Yeah.
But I do miss the sculpting of it and the caretaking of it. But.
Mm. It's like having another friend.
Kind of, and I need those these days.
So. Did you name it?
Man.
It was named the Mercer beard before I had an opportunity to, so the internet, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I killed it.
Yes.
It's now at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, maybe you should have named it Molly.
Wow.
Wow.
Don't listen
Even
to him.
I know that's out of character. That's just off color. Why? For wow. Shame, good sir.
Listen, let me tell you. Let me bounce back here and tell you why I think Matthew is so smart about this, though. He's going to Burning Man at some point in the near future.
Yeah.
It's hot out there. The direct sunlight he's gonna get a serious farmer tan if he has that nice thick beard out there. So whenever he did decide to shave it, he would be five shades whiter under that beard. Imagine children running away from him, businesses closing their doors, more so than even myself.
See, I thought you meant it would have gotten lit on fire. That's where I thought you were going. They would have thought that he was a sculpture and lit him
on fire. I think so.
Sorry.
Wow, we're getting a lot of really good material out of it.
Blockaded.
I know, there's so much space between us.
I know.
I feel like this is an HR choice.
And Marisha was like sitting on my lap, and they're like, and then Matt needs to be over there.
Well, we can shift this. Yeah,
I think you can move that wherever the fuck you want.
There.
Well, let's get through some announcements here, because I'd like to get to the questions by around like 7:30.
Fair.
Sounds good to me.
Join us next Danny. Same. Join us next Thursday, August 29th at 7 p.m. Pacific on Twitch. It's here. In the normal weekly Critical Role time slot for, oh my goodness. Finally, we're gonna put this out?
Finally.
The Dallin's Closet. Is it Dalen's or Dallin's?
Either is acceptable depending on where you're from. I say Dallin's Closet was my
I say Dallin's Closet too. It's the Dallin's Closet one shot, fam, which was made possible by your generous contributions to our Kickstarter campaign for the Legend of Vox Machina Origins Wolverine. If you missed the live stream, have no fear, the VOD will be available immediately for our Twitch channel subscribers, which the button is right here, Zach. No. The button is right here, Zach.
You're better.
I'm better.
No.
Most important thing about this Dalen's Closet one shot is that it's the wedding.
Oh yes, it's the wedding. If you missed the announcement, go to our Twitter because there's beautiful art and it's like a wedding invitation, right?
Yeah. It's really well put together with art from Kit Buss, our artist from the first campaign.
Oh, Kit Buss, my goodness.
It's amazing.
I can't wait. It's going to be on YouTube Monday, September 2nd. And if you missed it, you're a blessed person. Today on Travis Willingham's Yeehaw Game Ranch Jungle Ranch, we took on the nearly impossible game Cuphead.
I can't believe you guys did that.
So, not to be crass, but I fucking hate Cuphead.
Fucking hate Cuphead.
Whoever made that game, I'm coming for you.
But the music's
to
great.
To ask you why.
The music's phenomenal.
I couldn't hear the music because I had Travis Willingham screaming in my ear and not saving my life. Anyway, if you missed our stream, check it out on VOD. It's going to be up on YouTube on Thursday. Can't wait for all the "can't believe these guys are so bad at this game" comments.
But is anyone really good at that game?
No. And if they, do you know the only person I could picture being really good at that game? Taliesin.
Yeah.
Something about it just made me feel like if Taliesin was watching me, he would be going, "you fool."
Well, he does that when he watches you do anything.
Yeah, but I don't need you to bring that up. Let us now discuss episode 75 of Critical Role, Campaign 2, Rhyme and Reason.
No.
Okay, just making sure. I tend to do a lot of Scientology jokes. I like to ask people beforehand. Are we back? Okay. We begin.
I'm so sorry for him.
With some. She, did you have fun last week?
I did, but this is actually the first
person. She was exposed to Tox for the first time.
No, I watched it at home.
You did? Yeah, I got a text from you just like, that was a delight.
Yeah. I love any situation in which Brian gets overpowered by a better person. So. Hey,
same.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
I also love that you're the first person to apologize on his behalf. Everybody just goes, you'll get used to it. You'll see with Brian. But you're like, I'm sorry.
You'll have to notice, if I have one job around this crazy scenario that is Critical Role, it's apologizing on behalf of everybody else.
That's very true. That's
Sam especially, and Brian a close second. So that's
nice.
What I have.
You're right behind Sam.
I know. Goals.
Keep
this
working.
Year.
You
goals
can do it.
This year. I can do it. We have some Crit Roll stats to get things kicked off here.
Please
the Mercer Beard lasted 29 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's a long.
Could have gotten to 30, Matt.
Oh, man.
Could have gotten to 30.
I like odd numbers. They're odd.
They are odd. Mm. Jaw was said 53 times.
53?
Mr. Caleb, portrayed by Marisha Ray, said Jaw 40 times.
which is not how it's said, but yeah.
Cha.
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 Is it ja or ya?
Tia.
Tia. Oh,
that's funnier, jaw.
It is
it's
funnier.
It's jaw, though. It's really J-A-W, right?
Yeah, jaw.
That's what it says here, pronounced jaw.
Yeah.
Geladon.
Is an asshole.
Say that right?
You said it right, yeah.
Cool. Blasted Rini with 125 cold damage.
Hey.
Still alive, though.
Good
so.
Call on that fucking spider ice queen.
Right?
It's pretty legit.
Thanks, man.
That was a fun episode.
Cold I had one beast form that had it. One. Mm-hmm. And good golly, Miss Molly, or Mr. Molly. Did it come there in handy?
Ow, sorry. I got poked by there was a staple.
Oh, I left that there.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Ow, I think I need to go get a rabies shot. Is that what it is, Steve, when you get metal? Is it for rabies?
No.
That's blood poisoning.
Okay. Well, we begin tonight's episode, as you learned last week, the way we've begun every episode of Talks Machina. We are on episode 124.
Yeah.
A question for Mika Burton.
Yeah. Tradition.
This one we dug out of the archives.
Okay.
From Tommy Dybel. What about last week made you agree to come back onto Talks Machina for a second time in a row?
Well, to be honest, it was the promise that I was going to have your job.
But you didn't think you'd have my job by this week. I told you there will be a transitional process to where I hand over the show to you.
So I do have to be here, you know, get my hours, kind of like a union. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to show face around the camera, say hi to everybody, slowly turn everyone against you.
Yeah.
But
that's not going to be hard.
No. I mean, I'm pretty sure I have like one person left and they're just not in today. So,
whoa,
yeah,
Jesus, that is incredibly fast progress.
In all reality, like this is so enjoyable. I love any time that it's just like a really chill, casual environment with bros and you guys are really chill and fun. Also alcohol.
Yeah. How'd those alcohol. Drinks turn out? Are they okay?
Great. They're good.
Yeah.
They're, I mean, anyone that uses proper cocktail ice, I appreciate.
Might
so.
Be on the strong side, but.
That's how Brian rolls. And to be fair, you're the one who got me into old fashioned, so this is your fault anyway.
Hey, no problem, man. Max, thanks for hiding all the Coke in the fridge.
A cola.
Yeah, I was talking about
that
in
one.
The fridge, yeah.
Yeah.
Landon Dastrup wants to know a question for the Dungeon Master.
Ah, yes. Matt.
This is also really cool. Like, you're like the head honcho.
I get to answer some questions.
Yeah.
Here, Molly, take a little nap.
Wait,
here.
There we go.
Here.
Wait, Mika, did you think I was only asking you questions tonight and Matt was just here to chill?
I feel very honored that I get to hear questions from the DM himself.
And oh, like, my God, you are.
Yeah. I'm in the presence of greatness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's like looking
and
at the
Matt,
sun.
Too.
Temper your expectations.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey.
Tempered, officially.
Perfect.
All right.
What's the question?
I'm Mr. trying Host? To get to it, man.
Go for it, man. We're
God,
waiting.
Your job. It's Jesus. So on the line right now.
I'm shook. You guys got me shook. I'm slipping here. I feel like someone's going to call me into a meeting after this, and I'm going to see you signing some fucking paperwork. Matt, the question is, what was your favorite part of the four pages of backstory Mika sent you to play around with?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's hard to pick. I really enjoyed, one, somebody who leans into some of the lore of an SMR having some sort of a celestial connection or an entity that is a guide. You know, that doesn't happen often in my experience in watching other games and having played games with that type of character, so that was really cool. But I think for me, I just like the idea of a character who is driven in very like black and white morality, but carves himself as a vigilante individual in a kind of a civilized space, and yet is kind of peppy and naive and adorable in all these delightful ways, and ready to just throw violence down at the drop of a hat. It's hard to pinpoint a specific thing that I liked when I like all the elements of it, and there's some things for me to play with. And for me, it was a lot of like, here's some scenarios about Uthodurn, here's some characters that you can choose and pick and build relationships off of. So for me, the part that I enjoyed the most was having somebody else take what I tossed them and make it their own. So like a lot of the relationships with the NPCs, with Umagorn, And other NPCs that didn't even come up in the story so far, mm-hmm. other elements of the city, she got to go ahead and create these relationships and these you know, previous experiences and scenarios with them. And so it was, I just love any scenario where I get to lend somebody some of my world building and watch them take it and run with it. So.
Heck yeah.
I'm so glad you liked that, because I think in my email I said to you, like, if you want to veto any of this, like, feel free. I don't want to step on your, like,
I'd let you
on your world building toes.
No, I'd let you know. If there was ever a part of it where I was like, well, that kind of conflicts with this, or I'd let you know. But no, it was all good.
Thank goodness. That's what I was like.
Pretty good.
Feel free to throw all of it out, burn it, print it out, and just burn it in front of my face. It's all good.
Look, I'm happy when anyone sends me any element of backstory as a guest. So I got, when I got the 4 pages from you, I was like, oh, we're gonna be good.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
Eat.
Gives you more to work with, gives you more to
exactly.
mess around with. Yeah. Yeah. More is more.
More is more.
That you heard it here first.
the age old saying, more is more.
Yeah. My granddaddy, he had a lot of good ones. Dennis Berger wants to know. Not a real name. Oh. I'm hungry too. Should we get out of here?
Yeah. Get some burgers.
Danny, sign the contract. The show is yours.
Oh, sweet. Finally.
I'll do anything for Mika to not take this job. We've heard the cast talk at times about their awareness, or lack thereof, of the cameras and the live stream nature of this game. Mm-hmm. Have you been conscious of the audience the past 2 weeks while you were at the table? And if so, do you think it changed the way you played?
The cameras disappear the second Matt starts talking mm-hmm. for me, which is really cool. And I think that kind of speaks to how welcoming of an environment the Critical Role table is, because it really just feels like I'm sitting in a basement playing games with friends mm-hmm. rather than like, oh my God, thousands of people are watching me play Critical Role right
yeah.
now. Which isn't to say I wasn't nervous, because I said last week just how nervous I was. I was super mm-hmm. shaky and had a drink to calm myself.
Yeah.
But there's something about just like everybody sitting there and being so nice and welcoming, and like the first 5 seconds I poured out my dice and Laura hugged me and I was like, oh, I'm gonna be fine. I think I'll be okay here.
Yeah.
But oddly enough, I think the conversation happened last night and continued this morning on Twitter. The only time I'm aware of the cameras is when I have to do math.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden I'm like, I don't do math well, and mm-hmm. I'm going to have to count on my fingers, and people are going to think I'm stupid. But I found out today, a lot of people also count on their fingers, so it's kind of like a finger-counting society. Mm-hmm. Everybody out right. there, shout out to counting 2 plus 2 on these little babies right here.
But such cute fingers.
They're little tiny fingers. They do have stabby nails, though.
Nice.
Ooh, nails are pretty rad, though.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Not a fan. I'm terrified.
Because they could kill you and take your job, yeah.
Yeah, stop saying stuff like that. We're on, like, the fourth question here, guys. God damn it.
But yeah, all in all, I genuinely keep forgetting that the cameras are there until yeah. Matt says, let's take a break, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is mm-hmm. this
oh,
is
yeah,
a show.
We're doing a thing.
We have to do a
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's actually a really sweet sort of sentiment about that table that makes you feel that way. Yeah.
It makes me happy to know that, because we feel that way, but I'm always like, I mm-hmm. hope other people get engaged as much oh, as yeah. we do too, so that makes me happy to hear.
100%. Like, everything falls away, and it's just, I seriously can feel like I'm, like, it's like Stranger Things. Like, we're all at a rickety old table and mismatched chairs and, like, just having a good old time.
You'd be under a blanket and
yeah.
eating,
yeah.
like, terrible breakfast food that we heated up in a toaster would be great.
It's, like, weirdly 3 a.m. for some mm-hmm. ungodly
I mean,
reason.
Hey, I know those games well.
Exactly. So.
All in our pajamas would be great.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Pajama episode.
Mm-hmm. We have done that.
Oh,
we've done that.
But have you done a onesie episode where everybody wears different animal onesies?
No.
Not streamed.
We gotta do that shit, though. That's
this
gonna have to happen.
This is what I'm saying.
On the list.
On the list. There it is.
On the list.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Danny.
But here's my problem with the onesies.
Yeah.
I get overheated immediately the second that I put them on.
Well, we'd have to just really crank that AC,
that's
right, Steve?
Well, that's why you... So, pro tip, wear a cute tank top under it. And then when you get overheated, you
pull it down to the waist,
you like
it.
Yeah, you tie it like
yeah.
the overalls look.
I might have to try that because I love the. I'm sorry, I'm totally just like gone off the rails.
This
but
is important. No, you got this.
I see them all the time, and I want desperately to be able to rock the Kikurumi animal onesie like so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I'm in one for 2 seconds, and I'm like, no, I can't do it. No. Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
It doesn't. Mika's got the key.
The overalls
yeah,
look.
The overalls look is smart. Yeah, it doesn't really get cold enough in LA ever for those to be like a thing that you could really just kind of have on.
That's why I just suffer.
Suffer.
I just wear them because they're adorable.
Wow.
And I suffer through it.
Kiku karaoke. in which you drink enough to not care how hot you are, and then you sweat and not wake up till noon.
Yeah,
that's never happened.
Matt,
that's happened so many times.
With the big galaxy-brained ideas right now, I'm just, this is why he's the DM.
It's my Christmas tradition, is Kigurumi karaoke. It's pretty great.
Yes,
so good.
This year was amazing. I sang Meatloaf with, who sang with me? Was it Key?
It definitely wasn't Laura Bailey.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, I sense a dark past there.
Oh, yeah. No. It's just, you know, Laura was probably one of those people who's very easy to turn on me, right?
When you accept,
yeah. Matt, anyway, distract us from my inevitable doom with an answer.
Yes, boy.
Michaela Chaos. That's cool.
Yes,
that's
my
cool.
friend.
Did the Mighty Nein have any other options to make ice flex other than confronting Gelidon, such as a potion of ice breath that someone could use?
Oh.
That would have been an option. There are multiple options. The White Dragon was the most immediate one that I put before them, and as anyone who's run a game knows, sometimes players go for the most immediate option. There are silver dragons in the world that also breathe cold breath, but they had very little information about the whereabouts of one, so that in some ways Gelidon was the most immediate and easy. Potion of ice breath, I don't know if that would have been enough to really make it happen. I would have been almost like I think for that, because it is kind of a cheap, easy around,
yeah.
I wouldn't have disallowed it, but it would have been like you have to meet a certain damage threshold in a short period of time to make the enchantment work. But I wouldn't have disallowed it if the players come up with it. You know, part of this game is if the players are innovative, you're like, okay, well, how can I make this work in my narrative and still make it a challenge and not feel like it's, you know, cheesing the story?
Yeah. Like having a robot follow someone around and write down everything they say.
Oh, but that's fun. That's fun.
I know, I'm just trolling Sam because I hate him. Did you hear about that?
Wait, what? That was
Sam
so casual.
And I, Sam and I, like, hate each other. Have you picked up on that?
I picked up on that a little bit, but what is this about a robot?
Oh, why? I have a show I can recommend to you after this. It's called Critical Role Campaign 1.
Oh, okay.
It's quite good.
Okay.
Halfway through.
They had an artificer, who were an automaton companion named Doty, who followed him around, and as opposed to really fighting with him, was more about the one who was cataloging all of his chronicles in a book as he narrated loudly what he was doing.
But that's really clever.
It was awesome. I know. I don't know why Brian's dissing on it.
Because he can.
Gimmicky. Mika.
Yeah, that's me.
The next question's for you, but
yeah,
ask me something interesting.
Okay, if you were lost in the woods,
and
you had two options, to join a tribe of wolves and live there forever, or cut off your pinky toe and escape, which would you do?
Wolves. Sorry.
Option three.
Yeah.
I'd kill the Pope while he's shitting out there. Because he has to go out in the woods to shit.
What?
What?
Does the Pope shit in the woods?
Oh.
Isn't it, does a bear shit in the woods?
Nah, man. It's the Pope now.
I'm behind on my wood shitting,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, me too.
We know.
I didn't get that wood shitting memo.
We've learned something today.
We have. Does a Pope shit in the woods? Yeah.
Mika.
Yeah.
Jesus.
This is the stupidest. Why are we still doing this? I don't understand. Why did we make these people stay here? They clearly just. Greg's gone. I don't even. He just left his wallet. Miss Sunflower 94 wants to know, Mika, you said last week you wanted to try something new by playing a good and pure-hearted character. Zach, cue the thing you told me about. How did you enjoy that change? What character choices did Rini make that you wouldn't have usually done with your other darker characters?
Yeah, so usually I either play
That is amazing.
Oh, we gotta punch in there.
It might not work.
Wait.
Other way. There you go.
There you go. Oh, that's great. Oh my goodness. Wow. Oh wow. It looks kind of like a UFO. It's just, you know what it is? Do you know why it's off center? It's because I don't think you're really a good person.
I'm not.
I think it's fake.
Horrible person.
Is there a phrase similar to Pope?
No, I'm talking about her character. How come you thought of someone like you?
What was the question? What's happening?
The question was, you said last week we spent $5,000 on that stupid effect.
Shit.
So we wanted to get it in
there.
That's fair. Said last week you wanted to try something new by playing a good and pure-hearted character.
Right.
How did you enjoy that change, and what choices did you make that you wouldn't have done with your darker characters?
Right. So. Yeah, so most of the characters that I play are like, they drink their way through sleeping through the bar, mm-hmm. or they're the mom character that sighs at everything and like wrangles up her kids and pulls them along no matter what. So playing like this lawful good, and they're always neutral or chaotic. Mm. They're never any good, lawful anything. So playing somebody that's like, can't just say fuck it is really weird for me, because usually it'll be like, oh, fuck it, I'll do it myself, or fuck it, I'm gonna wrangle you children and make you do it the right way.
Yeah.
So having it be like, oh, I can't do anything wrong, because in the Madame Ava, mm-hmm. yes, in her shop, when Nott was like, we should just steal things, I was like, regular-brained Mika was like, yes, we should steal everything. That's such a good idea. But like Reenie-brained Mika was like, no, you can't do that. But I learned a new term from the internet, which is murder hobo.
Oh.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome, yes.
The wonderful term.
Yeah.
I didn't know murder hobo was a thing, mm-hmm. But I guess, that makes sense. Reenie is, I think that's the only connection I have to all of my characters as a follow through, is just like, usually fighting is the answer.
Yeah.
But I feel like Reenie is more of an extreme example of that, because with the other characters they kind of have less morals, so it's like they don't mind cheating or stealing or lying before it gets to the fighting, but for Reenie it's like fighting's the only answer because talking doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I guess that's
your experience.
That's the difference. But I do kind of miss my sad mother characters, but this is fun for me. It's spreading my wings, pun intended.
Yeah,
it deflects a bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I wanted, when I came into this, as I told you, I was like, I don't want to be a tiefling. I don't want to be any heavy magic user, because that's what I so always go with in my other games. So I'm going to be totally different. I'm going to be lawful. I'm going to be a new race. I'm going to be a new class. And we're going to have some fun.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Man. You're good at answering questions.
Yeah?
And you're also good at asking them.
Shit.
Matt.
Yes?
Toffee Pelican's here to save us.
I want a Toffee Pelican.
From this eloquent person.
How dare I?
Did you have any backup plans if the ancient white dragon heist went terribly wrong? How do you plan for something your players are clearly not meant to fight?
First off, letting the players know they're clearly not meant to fight this. Mm-hmm. And I think, given the circumstances, given the size and the scope of the creature's power, hopefully they get that idea. This was not meant to be a battle. Elements of it could lead into it, but this was intended to be a deviation. I don't think, and it can fall into this trap sometimes where D&D is go to place, fight, kill creature, get loot. Go to place, kill creature, fight, get loot. And you know, the game is designed to facilitate that. So the challenge as a DM is how you can mix that up. How can you find ways to subtly or overtly change that consistent equation? And so for this was intended to be a challenge of cleverness, of like, you have a goal that involves not necessarily fighting this creature, discovering this creature is way beyond your depth. How can you use your skills as a team to get what you need and not put yourself in a position where you're all gonna fucking die?
Yeah.
And so if it went really poorly, it's up to the player's cleverness. A white dragon is dangerous in general. A white dragon is super dangerous if you do not, if you deviate from the idea of we need to get out of here.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a possibility if things went really, really badly that things, a few characters may not have made it out. But they're also, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't plan for everything.
Yeah.
There's only so much I can plan for, and then just work off how things work out. I figured out multiple ways they could have handled that scenario, whether it be a social encounter with the dragon and can, you know, trying to talk with it. I tried to instill the idea that this wasn't the most clever of ancient dragons. So there was a position they could have taken of trying to kind of battle of wits it, find a way to get what you want and outsmart it. or completely kind of, you know, sleight of hand a scenario where you distract it and get what's done, which is kind of what you guys did.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a whole battle map set up for like the ice tunnel in case things went really poorly. And yeah, I mean, a job as a DM isn't to figure out all the solutions, it's to figure out a series of means that you can come at a problem and let the players come up with the solution. You have a few ideas of what they might do and then let them surprise you.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. You guys pulled off some pretty ridiculous solutions to this problem.
I think my favorite part is seeing reactions online afterwards, and most of the live tweeting and live blogging of this episode was everybody going, that is so fucking stupid, don't you, why would you ever, you are dumb, the Mighty Nine is full of dumb people.
That's every week.
Yeah, yeah.
You just, get a lot of backseat gaming.
It was just, because, but in, if you lay out that plan that we had, if you speak it out loud, it's dumb. It's so dumb.
Every D&D party's plan ever.
It's so true.
The game is about making stupid plans, fucking it up. And hopefully, if the dice work with you, somehow making it out alive and going, wow!
Wow, we lived!
How did we survive?
Although, I gotta say, we didn't fuck up too many things, I think.
No, you guys did great!
It was pretty successful!
Yeah, like you had the right people stealthing, the right people distracting who had survivability and speed between you and Beau. You had the right people behind the whole like, you know, Leoman's tiny hut meets the teleportation circle is a legit way to prepare an escape.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it was a good setup.
It was, and then we ended up like the kids in the Jeep in Jurassic Park.
Kinda, I didn't think we'd come to Jurassic Park scenario, but
it really
did.
Was, yeah.
Let's go faster, let's go faster, oh, let's go so faster.
Fun. Yeah, it was really good.
Boy, I bet Liam was bummed. He was somewhere at like the Shining Hotel with no internet or whatever. Hey. Kept sending us these pixelated photos and of what his, you know, trying to watch the show.
And work it out, I know.
Yeah, I was doing these things to Sam's face that are even worse than what's already there.
Are we sure that Liam's coming back, Liam? Like, are we sure that he hasn't been body snatched?
Whoa.
We may want to salt him when he comes in.
Probably a good plan.
Yeah.
All right, Danny, do you want to salt Liam when he comes in?
I mean, you've just described my only dream.
Hey, Mika.
That's me.
Do me a favor.
Yeah.
And look, my friend Greg here, he's got a camera.
You do have a camera.
Look at that
Greg.
Camera and say, we're going to test your hosting skills.
Okay.
Now, I know you do some bullshit for Overwatch or whatever.
Yeah, fine.
But this is the big leagues,
right,
my friend.
I'm ready.
I want you to say, look at that camera, and I want you to say, it's time for cosplay of the week.
All right.
No, wait. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
It's time for cosplay of the week.
Fuck. Oh, God damn it.
Nice. Your job's in danger.
Hang on, I'm texting my old contacts at Two Broke Girls. I'm gonna see if they're.
God, it's been a minute since a Two Broke Girls joke.
Crit Roll Stats will let us know how long.
It's been a minute.
No, don't. Guys, don't go back and try to watch all the episodes to find out. Our winner for Cosplay of the Week was sent in by Jesse of Jesse Loris Rex. Photo by Anne Barheit. Let's take a look. That's insane.
So good.
That's so good.
That grog is so intense.
Oh, that leather work, though.
Apparently, his wife Laura, the other half of Jesse Loris, did the makeup and did all the makeup and everything. And I think he built the armor.
Hats.
Well,
off.
Andy did 1,000 sit-ups a day since he was an infant.
Yeah, too.
That's worth the work. We met them as a couple at a convention this past year, and they're amazing. She did an amazing Ruby of the Sea with our fantastic Ginny, who's one of our amazing jester cosplayers as well.
I know her.
Oh, really?
She's just such a delight.
She's amazing.
She's such a delight.
Too.
Oh, I mean, man.
It makes me so happy. It's a person that did cosplay for so long back in the day to like see the cosplay community around this be full of just awesome people. It makes me miss those days a bit.
I know.
Keep your eye out. Awesome. I'm doing something special with the Critter cosplay community at a con coming up.
What the fuck?
I hope you guys are ready.
Wait, don't do that shit. I haven't thought of something cool. Don't do that.
See, this is what I'm saying.
You can't get the people on your side.
You gotta keep your finger on the pulse of the community, Brian.
I have other side ventures and investments that I've been pursuing.
And clearly I'm not. And clearly none of them have to do with the job that you currently have and providing for this community. Wow, it's like he doesn't even care.
This is a
fucking... I, however, do care. Critters of the world.
Is this our next presidential race?
Okay.
Oh my god.
Okay, Max, can you check the traffic on the 101? I'm gonna get the fuck. But before I do, congrats to you, Jesse. You have won this Bolivian Rosewood Dice Vault. Now, Matt, you saw the show last week where known liar Mika Burton said that the wormwood smelled like it smelled like foam. It smelled like nothing. Are you out of your this one? Tell me.
Let me smell it.
Smell the wood. Don't smell the fucking foam.
No, she did smell the foam last week and said it smelled like foam, which means she wasn't wrong.
Now see, now that I've smelled the wood, this smells like the most Bolivian rosewood.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I've ever smelled in my life.
Fuck.
You've taught her too well,
it's
Brian.
It's almost like I've been transported to the plains of Bolivia.
Oh, God. Cut the fucking feed. Wormwood better not be
better
watching.
Bolivia than Barovia. It's a very different scenario.
I don't want to go to Barovia. Please don't send me back.
Sorry. No.
No.
We're good.
You're not taking this to Barovia. This is going to Jesse. And it fucking smells good, Jesse.
Yeah, it smells like Bolivia. We just had this conversation.
Whatever. Wormwood, if you're watching.
Hire me.
Stop it. Stop watching tonight. Do not watch any more of this terrible
hosting. This is your fault. You asked me back.
I did, and I regret it, and I will for the rest of my life. Tonight, as I'm driving home, I will try to forget your face forever.
As
shit, I'm gonna
do.
See you Thursday.
Yeah, you are.
Fuck.
Sucks to suck, doesn't it?
It does. Chaos. It's the only tattoo I have.
Take it.
It's the only tattoo I have. Chaos and Creation, for some reason, thought they wanted to hear an answer to this from you.
Mistake.
Rini doesn't seem like she's run from many of her encounters in the past. How does she feel about taking a full-on retreat from Geladon? And how does she feel about Samliel sending her toward an unwinnable fight with an ancient white dragon?
So Rini's actually going through a lot right now because she has like 7 hit points left, first of all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, she's real close to the brink of death and like frostbitten. And also this is the first time, as I said last week, that she's really like had friends other than Fen, obviously, but that was more of a romantic thing. Mm-hmm. But this is like people that she all of a sudden cares about and like would risk her life to protect and
companions,
and not just in a I must protect the city type of way, but in like a I care about them mm-hmm. type of way. And the crew kind of tested her morality earlier, saying, well, if you have to steal to put together this thing that could save the world, how do you feel about that? And she kind of didn't know how to answer that because Samliel didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And now her supposed caretaker sent her to a place where she's almost died. And like, yes, she's almost died other times before, but never this severe. Even when she went to the Savalier Woods, she came back, you know, pretty broken, but not like 7 hit points and frostbitten broken.
Right.
So this is a new development, and I don't think she'd admit it fully yet, but she doesn't know what to think right now. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of flickering in her faith almost, just because also these people included her in the plans and kind of took care of her and looked after her, and Caduceus especially like blessed her and saved her, and even though technically Caleb wasn't there, he used his gift of alacrity on her. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, these kind of matter more than this angel that left me for 5 years.
Right, yeah.
But I don't think she's there yet. She's just shaken.
Yeah.
But she's definitely not the Rini that they knew 48 hours ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, coming face to face with an ancient, by the way, ancient fucking dragon.
Yeah,
we'll
when
do
you said
that,
I was like, oh, well, fuck this.
Yeah, that's when all thoughts of, like, actually maybe fighting it went, like, whoop.
Uh-huh. I was thinking, because chat was, like, all over the place, you know, about what, you know, but then when you said ancient.
Everyone was like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, I threw my remote control through my TV. It was awesome. It sparked everywhere. My dogs got all scared.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Nice. Oh, boy.
Matt.
Yes.
French. Oh, Elaine wants to know. We pretty much never get to see past your enigmatic DM face. What were you feeling during the whole lure the dragon out with food plan, the hiccups in the plan, and the subsequent dash for the dome and escape?
For one, I was excited that they were coming up with something creative and a means of dealing with that. In those moments, the DM's job is to rationalize all these pieces coming together. You set up all these various variables, the players come in and throw their variable into the mix, and it's your job to then kind of figure out how they all interact. And so, for me, I was excited they had put this forward, but I also knew it may not be as easy as this. You know, a single, you know, breath is not enough to complete the ice flex transition. Plus, this was a larger creature than it's used to generally eating, so taking two ice breaths, it would be too big for it to eat one bite, so it would carry it back to its lair. They'd attached a rope to it, and so it was basically one of those scenarios of considering, okay, all these things would lead to these, would lead to these, would lead to these, and that rope is going to come up. So in a weird way, like Beau cutting the rope and Jester, you know, pulling it accidentally made it prevented them from being dragged and smashed into ice and possibly alerting the dragon to their presence. So it was like, and it's also allowing complications if they make sense in the scenario.
Right. Mm.
If a plan is perfect, you're like, well, of course, let a plan be perfect and you roll perfectly for it. But if the plan isn't perfect, those complications add to drama as well. So if the rationale says there are complications, you let it happen, watch the players react, which excites me because then they begin to freak out and then I begin to engage and get excited about how to play on that intensity.
Wow.
So that whole buildup was a lot of fun. And then once the creature, you know, the dragon was eating at the ice chunk that was left behind, and it lured them into the lair at that point, and you guys began this kind of, you know, stealth distraction mission. I wasn't sure how it was going to work, but you had set up a good escape plan with the dome and the teleportation circle. You had the right people for the right job on both elements there, and it was about how much distance you could make in the time you were given. And honestly, I got really lucky rolling the recharging breath weapons. I was expecting it to be like maybe one attack with that and then combat and striking and trying to cut things through, but it rolled twice. I was like, oh God, that's not great.
Yep. For us, for you, it's great.
For me, say great. I'm not trying to kill the party.
It's a mixed feeling. It's a mixed feeling.
Thank you, Danny.
My job as a dungeon master isn't to kill the party. No. It's to provide challenges that are interesting and dynamic.
I know, I'm sorry.
But and allowing room so that if player action is dangerous and risky enough that they themselves can get themselves killed,
yeah.
Or if the dice very much aren't in their favor, especially combined with the previous condition, players can get themselves killed. I'm not trying to kill the players.
I know, Dad, I'm sorry.
And you also sounded like those actors at Halloween Horror Nights that's like, I love when they're crying because it pumps me up more and then I can act more. Because you were like, oh, I love when they react and then I can react more. So it's like, we're literally those kids crying at Halloween Horror Nights and you're those actors with the chainsaws like right in our faces.
Sure. I'm not going to lie. It's enjoyable watching my players scream. But that's because they're in the moment and they're enjoying the emotion and the adrenaline. That to me is the feedback as a DM that says like, okay, I'm on the right path here. If they're involved and they're reacting this way and they're emotionally invested in freaking out from the scenario, and you know, I just love painting those scenes for the players. Oh, yeah. So
I was concerned about my heart rate, legitimately. Like I felt weird heart things going on when the heartbeat started. Whoever did that.
That was on my playlist.
Ah, evil. It was good. It was great because it was like
evil.
This is just you do good, kid. You do a good job of setting the scene and making people like feel emotions and junk.
That's all I want.
Ugh, emotions.
Let me ask you something.
Yep.
You know, I compliment you often too about how great you are at this kind of thing.
Which one sort of feels
better to you when, you know, mine that you get quite frequently or this stranger who sort of just sort of sprung that upon you with very generic and sort of general compliments? It was a question sent in by at Steve, the director. Oh.
Can you
imagine if that was Steve's actual handle?
That would be pretty funny, actually.
This baseless pandering.
No, notes are, notes can get dropped.
This baseless pandering.
Hey, Mika.
Yeah.
I don't want to put Matt into a situation where he has to disappoint
yeah,
you. So Chase and Smith instead thought a good use of their time was to ask you this. The, the giant owl form was clutch in keeping Geladon from noticing your approach and is a form that could be quite useful for the party moving forward. Mm. Was that something you'd prepared earlier or something pulled from thin air?
I took a good solid hour to prep my prepared animals and wild shapes. Because I realized I spent the first hour looking at wild shapes and like what could be useful. Mm-hmm. Because I also try and like go into the mind of a DM and think what could they throw at me? Like what could try and fuck me? So I thought ice spider, because cold resistance, because white dragon, that would be smart to prep. Mm-hmm. I thought two different flying creatures. Owls inherently are stealthier, eagles are faster. So I thought, figure something out there. Also, eagles, I think, have a higher attack. I could be wrong, but there's a reason I picked it. I picked a giant hyena, a dire wolf, an underdark tentacle, just in case he's.
You know,
whoa.
Just in case you needed a giant tentacle. I've watched enough anime to know where that's going.
The Blue Girl, the RPG.
God.
Sorry.
Don't be.
That shows both my weebu and my age.
Yeah, it does.
Please.
A giant constrictor snake, a giant scorpion, because it has three attacks, two claw, one poison tail.
I hate snakes.
Snakes are awful.
Yeah.
But snakes are great in game because you can grapple things. So yeah. I like took a lot of thought of what we would be facing and what we might need. And then also you can summon creatures with conjure woodland animals, which is why I also picked the spider just in case. And I picked, you know, a bunch of smaller creatures for like the bats thing for recon and such.
Yeah.
And then I took another 2 hours to prepare my spells. So the days leading up to the first episode was like,
you were prepared as fuck.
I was a player who's prepared.
I was super prepared.
Hell yeah.
Cause I wanted everything. Cause I also, that anxiety of like, it's on stream and I'm not ready. I didn't want to hold up the party.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be able to pull up my wild shape immediately without having to go and search for it.
Yeah. Preloaded.
So yeah, all of it was really preloaded.
I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
For now.
Mm.
Matt. Boffle Slop wants to know.
Boffle
Great
Slop?
Name.
That's amazing.
I had some for dinner.
Hell yeah.
That's what a gelatinous cube sound makes.
Boffle Slop.
That's about right.
Yeah. Given their approximately similar ages, were Geladon and Vorgol clutchmates, rivals, lovers? Was Geladon upset at Vorgol's territorial encroachment?
Good observation. Geladon has been there for a while. Vorgol, 20 years before, was definitely encroaching on Wildemount, and when certain ancient dragons can sense encroaching territory, there is usually some kind of conflict. Geladon is actually a female dragon, and there, and I think Marisha picked up on this a little bit, the title, The Nightmare in Ivory, is also a subtle reference to the fact that there was a courtship beginning between the two of them before Vorgol was killed last campaign.
What?
And so Geladon essentially is now, one of the things that she's doing beyond just like stalking territory and heading into Isilcross, the continent or the lands northward, is frustrated with the fact that the one prospective mate that made its way into her territory never came back.
Yikes.
And when Marisha was saying
it's flipping out over
when Marisha
here.
Said a spurn bride, I was like, you that's look at that.
She's not just the DM's wife after all.
Oh.
So about that job.
Mika, do you know what we're talking about when we talk about Vorgol and stuff?
So I do, because was brought up.
You do?
Literally right after we finished the episode.
Yeah. I mentioned this to Evan.
But not because you saw the episode in question, right?
So that next question.
The next question's for you, Mika. Do you want to watch all of campaign one and then all of campaign two and then take over this show?
I mean, if that's the qualification, give me a few Red Bulls and I'm done.
A few Red Bulls just, and you're done?
Just one or two Red Bulls. I'm sure I can just
power through,
right?
Steve, do we have the budget for that?
No.
Oh, fuck. Shit. Well, instead, answer this question from Shondell McCafferty.
Can do.
Nott suggested a couple times that Rini take on the most dangerous parts of the mission.
Yes.
Implying that she was the most expendable one in the group.
Yes.
Rini was quick to volunteer. What was her motivation? Did she pick up on Nott's implication?
So, Rini didn't pick up on Nott's implication. Okay. Mika, however, definitely picked up on Nott's implication.
Yeah,
fuck you, Sam, first of all.
That's a good response.
It's that shit-eating face.
Yeah, it always comes with that shit-eating grin whenever he suggests something asshole-ish.
I know.
But Rini, being the one who wants to save the day, volunteered because that's what she does. So, once again, kind of hearkening back to that older question, some others, like my other characters, would have been like, "No, go fuck yourself," and punted Nott into the dragon's mouth.
Of course. of course.
But Rini was like, "Yeah, yeah. Sounds great, dumbass." Sometimes I hate my own characters.
What if you would have been that kind of character, and what if you would have punted? Not into, that would have been like the most shocking.
You and Ashley Birch could have both been part of the annals of guests who killed another player.
True.
Ashley didn't do that, but it's funny to say
it's
that.
It's funny to say it, but it didn't happen.
10 years from now, you too could be riding the subway and wondering if why the guy in the hood is staring at you, and it turns out it's
because they're,
you killed Nott.
Yeah, we killed Nott. But it's like, even if Rini did pick up on it, Rini wouldn't blame Nott per se, because they literally met her less than 24 hours ago. It wasn't that long. So, of course, this new person that seems to love to risk her life for what the fuck ever. Yeah, that makes sense that you're offering her up to a white dragon. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like eventually, you know, she's grown on the group, so I would hope that they wouldn't sacrifice her to another white dragon or whatever evils
maybe
exist in the world. But yeah, she's not hurt by it. I personally am. I'm going to shave an inch off of Sam's chair so it's really uncomfortable every time he sits on it and he rocks back and forth. And,
I like that.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
Just... we should shave an inch off every week. See if he
just
notices.
Slowly over time.
Every season he's like, "Hey, gang,
what's up?
What's going on?
Why
here?
You play one of the small characters again, man?
Yeah.
Just your,
we're
your
just
persona.
Trying to make things more realistic.
Or he'll just slowly think he's shrinking.
Or he will. Yeah.
Thank God.
Okay. Well, in a second we're gonna do our next giveaway, but because you nailed that, you nailed cosplay of the week. I feel like Steve, you like working with me, right? Zach, you guys like working with me? Help me out a little bit here with this one, because I know Arsqueef's gonna gif hers and then mine, so I've gotta really go in a little tighter, Steve, if you can.
Can't.
Okay.
Action.
Ah, oh, fuck. I already started. All right, hold on.
Take it again, Brian.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yeah. Fuck.
Ready? All right. Take it away.
It's fan art of the week.
Fan art of the week, Art Dad!
Same as Art Dad.
This week's winner for episode 75 was sent in by Crystal Sully. At Crystal Sully. Let's take a look. It's magnificent.
Whoa! That's a dope-ass dragon, yo!
Crystal's dragon work is amazing.
We got to meet her at Gen Con, and we both got little treats, and we saw this. This blew me away, and then when I looked and saw that it was from her, I said, Jesus, I can't believe she hasn't won before.
That's like...
Isn't that insane?
That's so insane.
Someone did that between Thursday and now.
Her work's incredible.
You can't do that?
I can't.
I could, and that's why I remain the host of this show.
I'd like to see you try.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to have a draw off?
Yeah.
All right, Babs will judge it.
Babs will judge Babs or something.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, let's go ahead and Venmo Babs about $10,000 and tell her I'm going to call her later. Congrats to you, Crystal Sully. You have won this insanely amazing smelling Bolivian rosewood dice vault from my friends at Wormwood Gaming. Remember, you can enter our weekly contest by visiting critroll.com/submit. You see that?
I did see that.
Rules for our contest are available at our website. What's our website, Mika?
Critroll.com.
Fuck.
Yeah. /.
Oh shit.
What?
Try it again.
/?
Oh, yeah. Damn.
And /, what is it? Submit.
Oh, no, I don't like it.
Oh, and she even has a better hair flip than you.
Max, who are you on that red phone with? This is fucking... Mika?
That's me.
I don't like this. Mm. Instead, answer this question.
I shall.
Rini promised Umi, am I saying that correctly?
Umi, yeah.
That she would bring back a souvenir from the dragon, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Is Rini worried about disappointing him with the possibility of already losing Finn?
Yeah. There was a moment that after we saw the dragon, that I was gonna bring up the scales, and I realized even Rini's not that dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, ooh, there's a chance to be real dumb, but this is a little too dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I think, once again, kind of hearkening back to, I said hearkening twice today. What is happening?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Badass vocabulary is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Hearkening.
Cool, you read a book.
Whoa! That condescension, can't even.
That's just my tone. It's just sort of the gift, my voice that God gave me.
Anyway, hearkening. Back to.
Hearkening back to what you were saying.
To what I was saying. But to the fact that her kind of viewpoint is changing,
uh-huh.
I think that she'll actually probably make a joke about it that it's a better gift that she's alive mm-hmm. than that a dragon, she brought back dragon scales.
Yeah.
Because she does know, like, as much as she's like, I have to go and risk my life no matter what you say, goodbye. Mm-hmm. She knows that her friends don't want her to die. She knows Fen doesn't want her to die.
Yeah.
She knows Umi doesn't want her to die. So she's back.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah.
So mm-hmm. hopefully he'll be okay with that instead of dragon scales, but I thought about it.
Yeah.
But then Matt said ancient, so.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Good luck.
Ancient kind of killed the dragon.
Good
scale.
Luck.
Sorry.
Matthew Mercer, destroyer of dreams since 2000. Matt, answer this question from CD88.
He's shaken.
How much? I am shaken. Do you have a dog?
I don't anymore.
Oh,
wow, you had to bring
that.
Up my dead dog, my dog who's dead.
How long ago did your dog die?
Like 4 years.
I don't feel fucking sorry for you anymore.
She died of cancer.
I feel sorry for you now again.
Yeah. Matt. Some mood whiplash, y'all.
Matt, go ahead and answer this question.
Yeah, what's the question? Brian?
How much of the lore and history that the Nine learned from the books last week was stuff you had prepared previously, and how much did you make up on the spot? How extensive are your campaign notes on ancient arcane weasels?
I mean, a lot of it was expanding on elements of the world that I had built and designed in the previously, just in my own free time, and kind of building out the lore. Some of it was improvised, as is the case. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole transmutation elements and Caleb's interest in book researching was just a lot of improvising based on my knowledge of the different arcane arts and trying to extrapolate in the moment and on things that might be of interest to him, to him. White Dragon, the same beats of which I know of White Dragon and trying to see how that comes across to a person who's researching information about them.
Mm.
As far as like the history, the lore of the the Calamity and the end of the Age of Arcanum, I've been very deep in that for a long time, and so that was kind of easy to pull out of my ass. A lot of it actually was stuff I hadn't prepared for the session, but I've just had kind of prepared in general in my own weird headspace and had to access it spontaneously and hope that it didn't come across too difficult to follow, which is a challenge sometimes when you're having to pour lore mm-hmm. out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I thought it was fascinating.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it wasn't super ridiculous and boring.
No.
I feel bad because everyone's reading books here. I gotta tell them what they're reading.
Yeah.
Oh sure. Man, I hope the players don't start drifting off here with me just stealing. And then in this century, you know, I'm glad that didn't happen.
I'm kind of wishing that would happen. Mika, tonight we're gonna end with a question for you.
Hi.
Unless you have any more that you wanted to ask me.
I have one. If you could be an orangutan or a Gila monster, which would you be?
Or a what?
A Gila monster.
I'd probably be a Gila monster. Only because I don't know what it is.
It's Vegas.
It's what?
It's the Nevada State Lizard.
Yeah.
It is? I should know that. I lived in Nevada for quite some time.
Gila monster.
Shame.
Okay.
All right. Noted.
What would you be?
I would have said neither. I'd be a wolf.
Well, I didn't know neither was on the fucking table.
That's what I'm saying, right?
You did not properly explain to me the parameters of.
You went with option number three last time, so you looked like you were well.
I didn't want to abuse the option. I did not want to abuse the option three option.
I'm sorry.
And that's why I chose one of your shitty options, is because.
Oh, now my options are shitty, are they?
I don't know if they are now, but they were when you asked me that last one. Instead, answer this question
for. All right, fine, I will.
Jester is bester.
Jester is bester. That is so true.
It's true. Okay, if the Mighty Nein learn one lesson from Rini,
yeah,
what do you hope it is?
Oof, that's deep.
Thank you.
I kind of hope it would be. Now, I don't want to say, like, sometimes you don't have to be morally gray, sometimes the high road is the right road, because that's not true at all. Actually, I know what it would be. Sometimes you need a little pep in your step. Like, sometimes it's okay to stop and make flower crowns and appreciate each other as friends and really look after each other. And you may be fighting an eternal ancient war with the Celestials and something called the Laughing Hand that has a lot of mouths, which confuses me because why does a hand have mouths? But I guess I'll catch up when I catch up.
Yes, yeah, sorry in advance.
Oh God. But yeah, even though you're dealing with all that shit, hug each other, bake a cake, hold hands, say you love each other, because, you know, you never know when, they do know with Molly, you never know when one of you is going to fuck off and die. So I got to stop drinking. I have to raid in Final Fantasy tonight.
You have to what?
I have to raid in Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy 14,
well, yeah.
Come on.
It's Tuesday. It was a raid reset today.
What? Are you talking about like an online situation?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can't do that. Not that you were inviting me, but I was just saying, like, I'm unavailable.
Is somebody marking this down? He doesn't know what Final Fantasy 14 is?
No, I do, but I didn't know. I thought you meant you were going to go LARPing. That's why you couldn't.
I got to keep my fingers nimble. I got to do
I'm sure you're so good. You've had, like, half a drink. It's going to throw you off.
I care about my guild and my free company, so yeah, I'm going to stay sober for them.
I understand. Matt, you can have the rest of your drink. You done answering that question?
Pretty much. It was just take care of each other.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you're going to risk your life for the greater good and never come back.
I think it was a good time for them to be reminded of that, too.
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, I entirely agree. We'll see if any of it sinks in.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty good at adopting emotional experiences and then processing it five episodes later.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very human thing, I think, to have a very visceral encounter or experience with somebody and then be like, cool, bye. And then down the road be like, you know, I learned something today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope they learn something. I hope they keep their flower crowns as a token of their weird angelic friend.
No.
I'm sure they will for at least another week or so. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight.
Actually, Mika, I have something for you real fast.
Oh, shit.
If you could just sign this.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Does this say Talks Machina contract on it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. It absolutely does. I'm going to. Yeah.
It's happening.
It's happening. I would like to thank Matt and Mika for joining us.
Danny, here you go.
Episode
this is legally binding.
Yeah,
76 is this Thursday.
Thank you so much. Actually, I think this is my job.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If that's that's perfectly all right. I'll just.
A pretty good graphic department, huh?
Episode 76 is this Thursday at 7 p.m. PST. As always, don't forget to love each other. And don't worry,
It's almost Thursday. Stay turnt, my friends, and remember, creepy ain't a crime, and neither is D&D.
Thank you for listening to Tox Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. If you like this episode, please drop a review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Tox Machina airs live on Twitch at twitch.tv/Critical Role on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific. We'll see you next time.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.